Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Good evening, people. Once again, we are bringing you the Red Hot Radio Show.
The show's name pays tribute to the Boer truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening, people. Please excuse my screw up there. I'm just so excited. I was telling my wife before this radio show that the day I'm not excited and I'm not nervous, I'll know that's when I'll have to get out of radio. Just like the day I get where I'm not excited when I see a big buck deer, I'll know it's time for me to stop bow hunting. But I'll tell you what, I'm just so thankful to be able to come in to y'all's living room or wherever you may be with Blood River Radio. I don't know how I could be any more fortunate. I've got a great wife. I can run marathons. I have great health. I have the finest friends in the world on my staff, Matt Goodwin being with them with it tonight. And before we go any further, I would like to ask Matt, a fellow who I just respect immensely, I would like to ask him to open our show with a prayer. We like to rotate who does the prayer. I could think of nobody better to do a prayer than Matt. So, Matt, if you will, son, lead us in prayer.
Sure, absolutely. Father, we come to you with boldness, as you say in your word. Come to you before your throne with boldness. Father, we ask for our minds to be open, our hearts to be open, and help us to listen to truth, absolute truth. And Lord, we're going to take this truth out into the world, and the Bible says, how will they know without a preacher? We're going to preach it to our friends who need to hear it, Lord, and guide us through these days and guide us in that venture, Father, as we fulfill your great commission. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's a great prayer. I tell you what, Matt, if we don't make it in the radio business, son, you could always be a preacher. And he's sincere, too. Matt's really sincere. I thank God every day he's with me, my side, and I'm with him. You know, I'd like to make an announcement tonight. Our dear, dear friend Lee Cochran, his mother is back. She went back in the hospital again recently. She's home now, but she's having a lot of trouble with her lungs. You know, she has a congestive heart failure. She's having a lot of problems there. She's on some really powerful, dangerous drugs, one of them being Coumadin. So if you will, please keep Lee Cochran's mother in your prayers. And, you know, I'm just letting you people know we have a great guest on tonight. I'm trying to figure out how I got him on. Before he comes on, I'm going to start giving you a little bit of his bio. His name is Robert Mazur. He is a retired DEA agent. He completed a highly decorated 27-year as a federal agent in three different United States agencies. He's been on PBS, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Univision, BBC, and other major networks. He's been a guest on more than 1,500 radio and television shows. I'll tell you what, this guy, if there really was a top secret agent, you know, secret agent man, the guy played James Bond, you know, all the James Bond movies, this guy is the real deal. I'll tell you what he did. When he comes on, I'm going to save some of the stuff for him to talk about. But he infiltrated some of the most dangerous drug gangs in the world, in Mexico, in Brazil, in Colombia. He worked with them for years. They thought he was helping them to launder money, manage their ill-gotten gains. This is one thing that really got my attention when I was reading his bio. They cleared over $2 trillion in the drug business between the drug launderers of the world. And they reworked with otherwise respectable international banks and businesses. Now, I'm going to ask him when he comes on the air. I think I know what the answer will be, but I'm 90% sure. No, I'm 98% sure that these international banks know all too well. They knew all too well then, and they know all too well now where that money is coming from. You know, I also want to ask him about MENA, Arkansas, Fast and Furious. What happened to Pat Tillman over in Iraq? All over, you know, Pat Tillman was the famous football player. I'm going to ask him about Colonel Bo Greitz when he was over in Burma during Vietnam. He had a friend over there he worked with by the name of General Coom Saul. I think we talked about him years ago when we were out in the bean field out in Millington. But we got all these wonderful things to talk about, and I know you're going to really love having him on. He's just a great guy. He's taken so many chances in his life. Also, we'd like to probably talk about what happened in the Oklahoma bombing, because you know the Attorney General was up there under Obama. His name was Eric Holder. Eric Holder was seen in Oklahoma City around the Murrow Trade Center buffet, you know, weeks and days before it was blown up. That's a big hush up saying, but you know, all this illegal drug trafficking, some of the things I'm letting you know ahead of time, I'm kind of hesitant to ask the former DEA agent, because I know none of you people would be surprised to know that guess what? Our government intelligence agencies have been dealing in drugs for years. I know back during the Vietnam War, I know for a fact that they smuggled a lot of those drugs in the coffins of the dead GIs coming back from Vietnam. But, you know, I guess they figured that was okay just as long as they put an American flag over the coffin, folks. But then they got even more bold. They started bringing in C-130s full of drugs from all over what we used to call the Golden Triangle back in the 60s. Here in Burma, Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam, where they grew some of the most high-priced dope in the world. You know, and when I was in the Army back in the old days, in the Stone Age.
Was that all under the war budget?
Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was, Matt. You know, I guarantee you. Yeah, Black Ops CIA money, like Sam says. You know, and with the CIA and these other rogue agencies, people, they don't even need money from the government. They make their own money through the illicit drug trades. For instance, back during the, you know, when they had Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North before the Congress back in the 80s under Reagan, and they were grilling him left and right about the Contras. You know, the United States was supporting the, as usual, we're always on the wrong side, but we were supporting the Contras, and we'll get in more of this stuff when we get Robert Mazur on, but we're going to let him plug his books and his movies. By the way, they made a famous movie about him, and we'll get back to what we're talking about as soon as we go to this commercial.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the show. As we gave a quick bio before came to this segment right here, we've got the one and only Robert Maser on the air tonight. We gave some of his bio before, but we'll let him give some more. What an amazing man. You know, if there ever was a secret agent guy, you know, a James Bond, this would be the guy. I couldn't imagine taking the chances that he took. Anyway, welcome on to the show, Bob Maser. I was just telling the folks, I don't know how in the world I was able to get you on, but go ahead and give us a quick little bio and if you can add anything that I said already.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Eddie. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on your show. I really appreciate it. I was a federal agent for 27 years, and for the greatest part of that amount of time, I worked on a task force trying to identify the biggest money launderers for the Colombian cartels operating around the world. And as we worked on that type of those cases back in the day, we did it initially in the traditional way, you know, with search warrants and wiretaps and informants and those types of things. But we ultimately came to the conclusion that to most effectively identify the people at the top, the command and control, and to really hurt them, we needed to infiltrate their money laundering systems. And so we decided to do that through a long-term undercover operation. So I volunteered to be a long-term undercover agent, and I went through undercover agent training and was blessed with tremendous insight from very gifted people who had done that type of work before, including the likes of Joe Pistone, who the book Donnie Brasco is based upon. Joe is a friend of mine and a man I tremendously respect and who I think is 10 times the undercover agent I became. But to whatever degree I got it right, in part because of his help. And so ultimately, I got a chance to put together an undercover front as a money launderer, a corrupt businessman. And I again was blessed with great leadership who gave me the opportunity to spend about a year and a half to put that together. And I was then embedded in real businesses, an investment company, a mortgage brokerage business, did an air charter service with a private jet, jewelry chain with 30 locations on the East Coast, and even a brokerage firm with a seat on the New York Stock Exchange. So I didn't have to be the very best undercover agent in the world. I had great training, great leadership, and great opportunity to put a very good Trojan horse together to ride into the Medellin cartel. And over a period of about 2 years, my partner and I recorded about 1,200 conversations with people within the cartel, as well as dirty bankers who were working with them. And that ultimately led to the prosecution of what was the seventh largest privately held bank in the world that had a presence in 72 countries and more than 500 branches, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, as well as many of the people who reported directly to Pablo Escobar. I became a money launderer for Escobar and the Medellin cartel and was able to get quite a bit of intelligence about their money movements, their drug movements, and we had a successful operation that thankfully ended in the prosecution of nearly 100 individuals. Unfortunately, shortly after the undercover operation, there was a contract put on my life by the cartel. And so my wife and I and two kids, 11 and 13, had to go underground for quite a number of years, which was a very unfortunate situation for them, but quite an example of what everybody should be well aware of, that there are many, many people in the law enforcement and the intelligence community whose families make those types of sacrifices every day.
You know, I'm just totally amazed, and I have so many questions. I don't even know where to start, but a few questions I have is how on earth, you know, your family could live under those circumstances, not knowing whether or when you were going to come home or not. And you know what's worse? There's many things worse than death, and I'm sure you know. The torture. You know, have you been caught by these drug people? You know, they live, they thrive on torturing, and they would let you, you know, they would have you surviving for days probably before they finally killed you. But did you ever, and I'm not trying to get too personal, did it ever cause any problems between your kids and your wife? And were they under so much stress that, you know, did it cause problems?
Well, it's certainly, I would say it's a normal reaction to a very abnormal circumstance. And yes, it did create problems. You know, it wasn't until 30-some years after the events when the movie premiered that my daughter, who at the time of the operation, she was 9 when I first went under and then 11. And then I, you know, after that, I traveled all over the world testifying in trials and then went back undercover again, which is not in my book, but went back undercover again for another 2.5 years. But when the movie premiered and she had the opportunity, I think, to recognize that, that what I did because of my love for my family, my love for my country. And she finally told me after all those years that she forgave me. And so, there is a very heavy thing that goes along with this type of work. But, you know, you mentioned about what these people would do to an undercover agent if they got their hands on them. You know, we should never, ever forget. Every year there's a thing called Red Ribbon Day, in honor of Enrique Kiki Camarena, a former DEA agent who just a year or so before I went undercover was kidnapped in Mexico by the heads of one of the Mexican cartels, including a fellow by the name of Rafael Carro Quintero. And that's pretty important to remember. I mean, it's important to remember, first of all, that they had the audacity to kidnap and 2 days, having a doctor present to keep him alive for the 2 days while they tortured him and recorded the conversation, recorded the torture. Then they killed him and then buried him. And it took a month for law enforcement authorities to find his shallow grave. But Rafael Carro Quintero was one of the people responsible for that. He was tracked down in Costa Rica not too long after those events, brought back to Mexico, and then the Mexican authorities refused to give him over to the U.S. authorities. He was imprisoned, but what they did is they turned a 250-person prison into a palace for him, where he had chefs and marble floors and satin sheets and all the visitors he wanted, and he continued to run his drug cartel from the Mexican prison. And just this, you know, it's not that long ago, about 5 years ago, in the middle of the night, someone made the decision that Rafael Caro Quintero should be let out of prison because of a technicality in his prosecution. No one's ever found where he is now. And the U.S. government, I know they had a $5 million reward for him. I think it's been up to maybe $10 million now. But that gives you an idea of the type of unfortunate lack of cooperation globally that we have in this very important war. Because, you know, as bad as the drugs are that these illegal, these cartels export, even more deadly is the corruption that they export, undermining democracies around the world. Today, the state of affairs in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela, many nations in West Africa, is totally upside down because of the corrupting influence that the cartels have had on governments, enabling them to use those countries as their gateways for the movements of drugs and money. And even though our law enforcement community does a very good job trying their best to find this money and seize it,
we're going to have to go to a break, Bob. What a fascinating conversation. We'll bring you right back as soon as we go to this break, Bob. I pardon you. Please pardon us for this interruption. We'll be right back, people. This is a spellbounding interview. I'm not kidding you one bit. Be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It ain't gonna happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, folks, I would like to ask Bob Mazur if he ever felt lucky, but he must have been lucky to survive what he survived. And we're bringing him right back. And I've got, like I say, a number of questions I would like to ask him. One I would like to ask, and I'm not trying to put our great guest on the spot because he's worked in three different agencies undercover. But, Bob, the question that begs, I've got to ask, how much corruption – this is kind of a twofold question. I noticed you worked with the so-called otherwise respectable international banks and businesses. You infiltrated them. This may be a rhetorical question. How much corruption do you think was and still is in these respectable businesses, in these banks, and in the government agencies? For instance, do we have many rogue agents, that are on the take? Because you're talking $2 trillion. $2 trillion, you know, that'd be mighty tempting. That would tempt me. If someone was to put, you know, $25 million in front of my nose, that would be mighty tempting, Bob. I mean, so did you ever, how much corruption is there in the agencies? And did you ever fear being compromised, someone selling out from the drug people and them fingering you, Bob? Was that fear there?
Yeah. Well, first of all, your first question about the international banking and business community, there is absolutely a percentage of that sector that market this money. You can just look at the headlines day after day after day, and I follow this very, very closely. The most recent of which, just tried to wrap your mind around this, Danske Bank, D-A-N-S-K-E. Now, it's a major Danish bank, but in of all places, in the Baltic, in Estonia, they moved $230 billion out of Russia for the underworld, a lot of which was connected to Putin and many of his affiliates. But there are banks, unfortunately, in this country and outside of this country, that market the underworld, market assisting people who want to, in a very big and broad way, evade income taxes, to pilfer treasuries, to support terrorism, to support drug traffickers, to do all types of things facilitating criminal activity. And the United Nations on Drugs and Crime is the body that came up with the number that you made reference to, nearly $2 trillion a year, you know, seeking secrecy from governments, money-seeking laundering services. And of that money, $400 billion a year, with a B, is generated from the sale of illegal drugs. As good of a job as my brothers and sisters in law enforcement try to do, we really, in the United States, don't seize more than, at most, $1 billion a year. So that's 1/4 of 1% of the treasuries of these criminal organizations. Now, your second question, the one about corruption, I can tell you that certainly I personally saw corruption in a big way that was embedded within the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, BCCI. They ingratiated themselves on politicians in many countries, but unfortunately, including our own. And some of the politicians who were involved wound up being indicted. It was very unsettling for me to be undercover within BCCI dealing with the bankers who were telling me that they had very close friends, not only in Saudi intelligence, Pakistani intelligence, and ISI, but also in the CIA. And I knew that the CIA was banking with BCCI. They were using them as a resource. And my biggest concern was that the intelligence community might want to try to compromise me because I was otherwise undermining a potential important resource for them. Thank God, to the best of my knowledge, that didn't happen. But it was very unsettling at times. I mean, I was at the bank in Miami, their Latin American headquarters, And there were times when the former Secretary of Defense, Clark Clifford, was there, who was the CEO of a bank that was affiliated with BCCI, claimed by the world to be a U.S. bank, when in fact they were secretly owned and controlled by BCCI and the Saudis. So, yeah, was I concerned? Sure as heck was. You know, I'm convinced God was protecting me, and that
amen.
And that there was a reason for me to be there, and a reason for things to turn out the way they did.
Hey, Bob, it's Matthew. First off, I think you're an American hero, and you command all of my respect for what you've done. But let me ask you a question. There's something came out in the news today. Have you been following the Philippines and this Rodrigo Duterte?
The head of the Philippines, the president of the Philippines?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So he came out today and on RT News, and he was kind of accusing the ICC, the International Criminal Court of the EU, of infiltrating his, basically infiltrating to counter his production for getting rid of his drug trade in his country. Why would the EU, what's your take on that? I'd like to know. Why would the EU be involved in his business and his affairs with that?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen what you're speaking of, so I'm just dealing in a hypothetical vacuum here. But, you know, I do believe that there are some people who have felt that the way that he's run his country has not been one of being concerned about the rights of his citizens. And, you know, whether or not they have concerns about that, you know, it's very hard for us as Americans it's hard for me to wrap my mind around how other nations sometimes deal with the way we deal with certain crimes. I just read an article the other day that Iran had found certain people that they believed were laundering money. They convicted them quickly and they sentenced them to death. We don't do that in our country. We have a rule of law and we have an opportunity for people to defend themselves. And, you know, if they are found guilty, they rightfully receive at times a severe sentence. But they don't quickly wind up having their circumstances defined for them and wind up finding themselves before a firing squad. So, you know, I unfortunately don't know enough about the story that you just made mention to, but I do know that there have been some concerns that have been expressed around the world about the right of the rule of law in the Philippines and his leadership there. So maybe that plays into it.
Okay.
You know, Bob, before we go any further, I would like to have you tell people to plug your website. I know you, like you said, we didn't have mentioned this, but Bob Mazur, am I pronouncing your name right? Is it Mazur or Masur? Okay,
correct,
good.
Right.
Thank you, Bob. But Bob, as he was a great movie made about him called The Infiltrator. He's also written a book, I believe it's been printed in like 10 different languages around the world. But Bob, you also, I'm going to try to ask too many or say too many facts at one time, but you also have an agency now, KYC Solutions, I believe. Would you like to tell some people about how they can get your book, how they can see the movie? And also, I'm very curious about this KYC Solutions company that you mm-hmm. have. Tell us something about that.
Sure. Well, as far as my website is concerned, it's pretty simple. It's my name, first and last, with a .com. So it's Robert, no space or anything, Robert Mazur, MAZUR.com. And on there, you can find information about my speaking and my consulting and my expert witness work. But basically, KYC Solutions, and KYC is the first initials of Know Your Customer, is a group that attempts to help financial institutions, law enforcement agencies, anybody who tries to address the threat of money laundering to understand better the principles of what one needs to do in order to know their customer and the principles of what the money laundering threat globally is. I'm currently involved as an expert witness in a few cases that that I think relate to a very important issue, and that is that financial institutions, in my view, unfortunately, historically by our government, have when they've been involved in laundering massive amounts of drug proceeds, have gotten their hands slapped. They pay a fine, and life goes on, and very few people are held accountable individually. In some of the civil cases that I'm involved in, what we are attempting to do is to, through the courts, to help the families of those who have been killed at the hands of the cartels and at the hands of terrorists, by bringing lawsuits against the cartel, the banks, excuse me, but the banks that have facilitated the transactions of those criminal organizations. So in one instance, if they're helping the cartels, they know it, they're Bob, banking them,
Bob, we,
they're responsible
hear the music.
For killing.
We got to go to another break. Bob, excuse us for the break.
No problem.
I really had to go to commercial. We've got to do it. People will be right back with this incredible interview with this incredible man. And man is right. He is a hero. God bless him. We'll be right back after this break, people. Hang on to your seats.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
But I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
Well, people, you're listening to the, I'm not just a chunk of coal, I'm the old chunk of coal. I'm just an old Tennessee boy, you know, I guess some people will call him a redneck, a deer hunter, crappie fisherman. But I tell you what, I do love what we do. I love radio. I love working with people like Matt, and I love working with people, the one and only Sam Bushman, who he lets us do just about anything. I mean, we flat pushed the envelope on this show right here, folks. But, Bob, getting back to you, there's just, golly, I wish we had 12 hours to talk to you. Tell us, before I ask you about Well, let me ask you a quite quick question. Weren't you around MENA? The MENA, Arkansas drug running thing might have been before your time in the agency. Were you alive during the time when the it's been, you know, what we've heard that they were the under Clinton, they were flying the CIA, et cetera, was flying drugs from South America into MENA, Arkansas. And I can't remember the name of the Green Beret Army pilot who was killed over there. But do you know anything about that?
Well, yeah, something that fits into that same scenario is the Barry Seals story. And I don't know if that's
part of Barry Seals, right.
Yeah, yeah. And right. That was actually really more during the Reagan times when it was alleged that the CIA was financing the Contras by bringing drugs into the United States and selling it and using it for black ops. But so it was a little bit before my time. But I just want to, if you'd let me, I want to make a comment because I know you. Other people have referred to me as a hero, and I can't stress enough to you and your listeners. I'm a public servant. I am what you deserve when you pay your taxes. What I do and what I felt like when I worked for the government, and I, as you said, I worked for three agencies, and it didn't matter to me what color my badge was or what agency I was in. My view was that I needed to carry myself in a way where at the end of the day, when I went home, I could look my family in the eye, my friends in the eye, and people I didn't even know and say, you know, I did the very best for you today that I possibly could. And that's what I believe you do get from the greatest majority of people who serve the public today in our agencies, our Constitution, our system of government, and truth and the rule of law is extraordinarily important to them. Don't let anybody cause you to think otherwise. I mean, I believe that the greatest majority of public servants serve our country and our hope for freedom and the republic that we have every single day. And I stay in touch with my former brothers and sisters in law enforcement and many other people who are involved in law enforcement. And I can tell you, they care about each and every one of the people they serve. And that's, to me, it doesn't matter who's at the top. You know, this person or that person who may say one thing or another, but let me just tell you that I do believe that the very deep roots that have been grown in our country over the hundreds of years that we've been here are so strong that it doesn't really matter how one leader or the other might perceive things. The public is the public servants are there to serve you, and they're going to do the best darn job they can possibly do at all times. There were times when I didn't agree with what people said at the heads of my agencies, and I stood up and I let it be known that I didn't agree with it, and I testified under oath about it. And there are many, many people who feel that way and just care so much about the people of America that I think we're in great hands. Law enforcement is and everybody who's serving this country, the greatest majority of those people are just like you and me, care about each other, care about our families, care about our way of life, and we're in good shape. So don't let anybody convince you otherwise.
Here. I don't know how that could have been said better myself, but the only thing I disagree with that, Bob, is I'm like Matt. I do consider you a hero. But, you know, also, I'd like to let the audience know, we get accused on this radio show, our people, of being anti-government and slamming government. Yes, we do slam when the government gets out of line. But yeah, I want to second and third and fourth what you said, and I totally believe that the vast majority of people in law enforcement are good people. You know, were it not, this country would have been flushed down the toilet eons ago. And I'm saluting you. I'm saluting all the other people that have safeguarded the United States, have served their brothers and sisters, citizens. I have no unending respect, unending amount of respect for those people. And you made a reference earlier that you believe God was with you. I'm 100% certain he was with you, Bob. And with that, I'd like to go, if I'm not mistaken, and to prove to me, it proves beyond a shadow of doubt that God was with you. Tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you not sit in a meeting with some of the most vicious drug dealers in the world, and you recorded them? What was it? Was it in Colombia? Brazil? Did you not, or am I reading the wrong book? Did you sit in some meetings all alone and tape these drug dealers? I blink them. Was it Colombia? Correct me if I'm wrong. Take off on that, Barry. Excuse me, Bob, if you don't mind.
Well, no, I have certainly met with drug dealers undercover in Colombia, drug dealers and money launderers, as well as in many other countries around the world. And there were times when things got pretty tense. You know, when you're a part of a team, which I was, you know, everybody listening probably has a favorite football team, and the first person they think of on the team is their quarterback. So I was a quarterback, but frankly, you know, I couldn't have gotten the first yard, if it wasn't for the fantastic team that I had around me. And that's the same thing that exists for any quarterback that's out there. And so, yeah, I was there. I had some people behind the scenes at times, and sometimes I didn't have anybody. There's one particular meeting I can think of where, I was accused of being, before the meeting, I was accused of being a DEA undercover agent by one of the most vicious drug traffickers in Colombia at the time. And I knew I had to talk myself out of it. And rightfully, I understood why he thought that, because we are a team. I had gotten intelligence information and I had convinced them that I was the safe way for them to launder about $100 million, and they started delivering shipments of money, $1 million, $2 million at a time. And the local office, and actually this occurred in New York City, they were convinced that they needed to have heavy surveillance out there, and they wanted to watch where the bad guys went after they dropped off the money. I was very much against that because I felt that, and I always feel, the bad guys are smarter than us, and we need to be as careful as we can. And yeah, it's important to keep people safe, but don't get bold, and you could get burned. And the Colombians had an entire counter surveillance team out there, and they saw every single undercover agent. They had their descriptions down. They knew the cars they were connected with. And when the word got back to Colombia, they said, "Well, you know, he's got to be an undercover agent. That's the only reason they could have all been out there." So I asked for a meeting one on one in Miami. With one of the representatives of this guy, and I begged my office, and they did do what I said, which was, you know, I don't want a cover team, because if they see you there, they're going to kill me, and all you're going to do is find the body, and I just need to be able to work. I need to work through this on my own and get them comfortable back, you know, back comfortable with us again. And so they didn't follow me, and I went into that meeting, ultimately bringing a briefcase that had a recorder in it. And I sat down [S2] Wow. [S1] At the table one on one, and the guy was on the other side of the briefcase, and I picked up the lid of the briefcase, and unfortunately the Velcro that had held the secret compartment together with the recording equipment in it, the Velcro had worn, and the recorder fell into the body of the briefcase. He couldn't see it because the lid was up, but he was anxious to get the records that I had. And I had a very short period of time to put all that, the recorder and the nest of wires, back into the briefcase. And I got it there just like a half second before he came around the table. And that's, I'll tell you what, the good Lord was there with me that night. There's no doubt.
That proves our point. Matt, do you have any questions to ask our incredible guest?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, you mentioned about the breakdown in the country south of us, Guatemala, Honduras. Do you think that's the reason for all these migrants coming up here and trying to come into our borders?
In part, I do. And, you know, I think one of the unfortunate things is that there was a time in the past, before the tremendous problems we had with terrorists in the Middle East, where resources were being applied to try to help those who were promoting democracy in the Americas. And we've just, you know, we only have so much money. We have a tremendous deficit right now, and we haven't been able to support those governments in the way that we had in the past. And over the decades, over decades period of time, not just today, but over decades period of time. That has allowed the Mexican and Colombian cartels to dig their talons into the otherwise true democracies down there. The rule of law does not exist, and the people who try to live in those countries face death every single day. It's something that we can't really appreciate because of the wonderful history we have.
I'm sorry to have to interrupt. I certainly am. It looks like we've come to the end of this segment. Bob, I'm hoping and praying you will come back on our show again in the very near future. God, thank you. So I feel like I'm akin to you. I feel like a brother. People, I hope you really appreciate this man that he came on tonight. I just have no unending amount of respect for him. We're getting ready to go to the second segment, and we're going to bring back another fabulous guest. Good night, Bob. Good night. And I'll see you in the future. Bye-bye.